Blog Talk Radio.
Bringing voices to power. I do not own the rights to this music. Bringing Voices to Power Network. www.thechildsupporthustle.com. Catch the Child Support Hustle Show Saturdays on the Bringing the Voices to Power Network. United Voices with Sherry Saunders. EmpoweringStrategies.net.
Tell her I'm on the phone. Don't tell her who.
Bringing voices to power. Child Support Hustle Show with Kenya Rockman.
She won't answer my call still.
We're bringing voices to power.
Hey.
With many other activists like Brenda Hampton in Corlin, Alabama, we're bringing awareness to the people.
All right, this episode of United Voices with Sherry Saunders, and she's going to be joined by medical kidnapper Terry LaPointe. They're going to discuss an Alabama newborn baby kidnapped from a Birmingham hospital with no warrant, no court order, no emergency circumstances. 2 weeks ago on Monday, February 26, 2018, Mrs. Thomas, who is 18, gave birth to a baby boy in Birmingham. Okay, take it away, Sherry.
All right, everybody, we'd like to invite all listeners to go ahead. If you're going to be on the show live, stay on the line to speak to our producer. If you're on live this broadcast and listening, go ahead and mute your phone. Folks, what we're going to speak about today is a kidnapping at Birmingham Hospital, St. Vincent's East in Birmingham, Alabama. A young woman who had been in foster care for a good deal of point of her life left care in January, the last few months of her pregnancy. She was living with the father of the child. At the birth of this child, DHR Jefferson County showed up and stole this baby right from out under her and all of her family. They waited until the father's mother, the grandmother, walked out the door to run to the house to pick up some clothes, you know, run an errand. They knew that the mother had just left when a nurse supervisor walked into the hospital room and took the baby. They took the baby, they said, for an assessment. That baby never came back. That baby was sold. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, the reason why that baby was sold is because this woman was living at Child Haven in Coleman, Alabama. That is a foster care home. They are human trafficking experts. They have been around since the 30s. I can tell you more about this, and you're going to hear that on a Facebook Live that I will do after this radio show this evening, where we will speak to Terry LaPointe, chief writer and editor of MedicalKidnap.com, who broke the story of Mother Chelsea Stokes, who had her child taken from her. Marcus, who do we have on the line this evening?
Hello?
Okay, yes. Introduce yourselves one by one. Sherry, we got three other people on the line. One is Alicia.
Okay, so yes. Two people we should have left on the line is Terry LaPointe and the mother of the child. Is that correct? Terry, are you on?
I'm here, yes.
Terry, this is a shocking story, a story that you know all too well. Why don't you give the listeners an introduction into the story, and please take that away, ma'am.
All right, you did a pretty good introduction. It's shocking that they waited until the mother and father were alone and just walked into the room and took the baby for a nursing assessment. And they didn't think anything about it. She got a call a little while later that said, DHR has taken custody of your baby and you can no longer see your baby. She got to see her baby the next day for 10 minutes, about 10 minutes, before she was discharged from the hospital. And then she has not seen her baby. She and the father, neither one, no one in the family, no one related to this baby, has seen this baby since that day. Been 2.5 weeks, and a newborn baby has been deprived of his mother. When we found out more of the circumstances, we were shocked, but not shocked, I guess you would say, that she had been in foster care herself. She was rescued appropriately when she was a little girl, when she was 4 years old. Her mother in Arkansas, her biological mother, had been trafficking her. And there was allegedly a lot of drug abuse going on. So she was actually taken, where Child Protective Services did their job and protected her. They placed her with an adoptive family, however, and that adoptive family things went downhill. And when they moved to Alabama, the adopter split up, the adoptive father remarried, and there was some conflict in the home, and DHR in Alabama got involved. She spent her entire teenage years in DHR custody and in different facilities. Now, this is a victim. This is a person. Now, she doesn't act like a victim. I'm going to tell you that. She does not act like a victim. She acts like a young lady who is strong, articulate, who has recovered emotionally in many ways, I believe. She's got a strong support system. She is very much loved by the family that she is with. And she doesn't act like a victim, but she is one who our system did what we say, what the American public thinks we do, and rescued a victim of trafficking from a horrific situation. But what we've done to her, what our system has done to her since then, is absolutely, utterly shocking and horrific. Is this the way we treat a survivor of being trafficked? We steal her baby. We take her baby away from her at 27 and a half hours. She didn't even have 36 hours with her baby that she carried in her womb for 9 months. This is her baby. This is not the baby, a baby that belongs to the state. She had no opportunity to be abusive or show any signs that she was doing anything wrong. She wasn't. She didn't do anything wrong. Her boyfriend, the father of the baby, didn't do anything wrong. They have it's the father's grandparents, not his parents. It's his grandparents that they live with, and we met with them, talked with them. I actually have known some of their relatives for about 30 years. So this is a family that is a good, stable family that loves her. She has plenty of support, but they have taken her baby away from everybody that is related. They didn't even talk about putting the baby with relatives, with family. And we don't really know where this baby is, and they haven't even been able to visit this baby. The allegations against her, because when they take a baby, there's always some kind of allegation. Now, you would think that when they take somebody, when you're arrested, when they do something like take your baby, they should be required to tell you what the grounds are. You're being arrested for breaking into a bank. You're being arrested for shooting someone. You're being arrested for driving without a license under the influence of drugs. You kind of know what you're being arrested for. When they take a baby, they should have to tell you what they're taking the child for. But this mother did not even find out the allegations against her until they went to court on Friday. Now, the baby was taken on Tuesday. The 72-hour court thing that they get by with, somehow they don't have to let you know what's going on, and they by having the court in a court date in 72 hours. At 72 hours, she found out the allegations. Let me read you the allegations. I just want to read you the allegations because it's not long. It's not a big thing. It's not something that's complex. It says, the above child's mother, Chelsea Thomas, is currently in the legal custody of Jefferson County DHR and has been on runaway since January 7, 2018. Ms. Thomas suffers from severe mental illness and was discharged from her prior placement at Child Haven of wanting to harm her unborn baby. Five lines, okay? And I want to... Go ahead.
That is a very damning and inflammatory statement made by this expert at DHR to say that statement. What in the official statement? Those words are very inflammatory towards the mother. Terry, do they have any evidence at all that this woman ever meant harm to her baby? And isn't it the truth that at Child Haven, the rules are you can stay there if you can stomach the place up until you're 21, and then you'll time out with your age. But if you leave, you can't come back. So to say she is a runaway, it's only to be understood that she understood the rules of Child Haven, which was that at any point she decided to leave, she was free to go. She just couldn't come back. Is that not correct?
Right. Yeah, let me address that because, okay, she was 18 before she actually went into Child Haven. She was already 18, but in Alabama, the age of majority is 19. So they put her in this place. She conceived the baby a month before she turned 18. But they put her into Child Haven after she was 18. And I verified exactly what you're saying when she said, well, I didn't run away. They told me I could leave at 18. So I contacted another mother whose story we have covered at Medical Kidnap, and her name is Shanley. And Shanley told us, I didn't tell her what Chelsea had already told me. I asked her about the policy about leaving, and she used just about the exact words that Chelsea has used. They tell you once you're 18 that you're free to leave. You are not, you don't have to stay. However, you can't come back. The verbiage that they used was virtually identical, which tells me it came from a common source. It makes that very believable. Now, in the allegation, it says two things. It says two contradictory things about that. It says that she was on runaway. So they're calling her a runaway, but then two lines later they say she was discharged. Well, which was it? Well, actually, it was neither one, but you've got an allegation, a five-line allegation with two contradictory things. You can't be a runaway and discharged at the same time. Unless you're at Child Haven, I guess. Okay, let me address a couple of other allegations. Severe mental illness. Now, I questioned her and I asked her about the allegations with having severe mental illness. She's been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, having been rescued from being trafficked I kind of think she has a right to some post-traumatic stress. That was a traumatic thing that she experienced. She did experience trauma, but she was put on medication as a young child for that and anxiety. To her knowledge, that's all that she was ever diagnosed with. And they came from something that was legitimate trauma. They medicated her for most of her life. And then when she conceived the baby, the hospital took her off of the medications cold turkey. But she's been asking to get off of these medications for most of her life because she didn't feel like she needed them. And according to her, her fiancé and his grandparents, she's doing fine without the medications. And the grandparents told me she shows no signs of being mentally ill. She shows no signs of being a problem. She's not crazy. So this is something that Child Protective Services has been able to use against her, but she doesn't have her medical records. Unfortunately, children in the system, even once they turn 18, many times they don't get their own medical records. So, and you asked about evidence of these allegations. The other thing is that she wanted to harm her baby. The evidence that I saw by looking at her Facebook page and talking with people that were around her was that this baby was very much wanted. This baby, they were excited about the baby. And the evidence that they said that they have in court is a broken razor blade that was found by the sink or under the sink or around the sink in the room where in the bathroom at Child Haven. Well, as Chandler pointed out, two mothers share a bathroom, and it is their responsibility, it's not the staff's responsibility to clean up the bathroom. So there's a possibility this razor blade could have belonged to the other person, I don't know if they did fingerprints, but there's nothing showing that it belonged to Chelsea. It could have belonged to somebody from a previous resident. Chelsea said that she didn't know about the razor blade. This was news to her. So, and my other question is, how are you going to make yourself miscarry at 34 weeks, or really at any point in time with a broken razor blade? I don't quite understand that concept in the first place.
Let me interject, Carrie, straight up, anybody who believes that story has drank too much fluoride water. The reason why this concocted story of a razor blade is so
concocted
that they have something
exactly.
to say, it is concocted, folks. Someone made this story up because at the DHR in every county in America, and specifically Coleman County and specifically Child Haven, their entire existence is to traffic these babies. So it is not a story that I believe, and I have been looking at Child Haven since I was 18 years old. I'm now 43. Quote, they're lying. They made that shit up. She had nothing wrong with her. Do we have the mother of this child on the line right now?
Yes, ma'am.
Chelsea, I hope you don't mind if I call you by that name. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Sweetheart, tell us. What has happened in your life in the last 2 weeks?
It's pretty much been a sit and wait for us, which is not what we really want to do. He's 2 weeks and 4 days old, and nobody's told us anything. All we know is he's in Shelby County in a town called Vincent. And the social worker that has taken him from us, you know, whenever we meet with her, she just goes on and on about the foster parents, how good they are. They have 20-plus years of experience. They work with something, Baptist Ministries. And, I mean, that's all she can say. She just boasts about them. So it's a lot like she likes them better than she likes us. And there's nothing wrong with this. How she told us that herself when she came and did a home inspection.
Chelsea, during your enslavement there at the brood farm at Child Haven, did
Did anyone ever tell you that when you had your baby that they were going to take the baby from you? Did they tell you?
No, they told me that he would be able to stay with me, and if I left, then nothing would happen. Like Miss Terry said, you know, they kept telling every single girl there, including me and I guess Shanley now, you know, if you're 18 and above years old, one of the first things they tell you is this is just a forewarning. If you leave, you can leave, but you're not allowed to come back. So we understood that, and my social worker and I had been talking about it, and I told her where I planned on being going, and, you know, she just was kind of like, okay.
Okay, when we spoke, you provided lots of information. There's something that I would like to point out while on this radio show. You told me
mm-hmm.
that every day that you live there at the foster home there in Cullman, the Child Haven, that these parents that do not have much to do with cleaning the house, they don't cook the foods, they're just there. Their job is to just be there and watch the pregnant young women live in this house. You said that they would ask you questions daily. What are some of the questions that was asked of you daily while you lived here in this place that you had to keep up, you had to cook the food, you had to wash the dishes, you had to clean the house?
One of the questions they constantly asked me, I know in particular they would pull me in the office and they would ask me, they could already ask me the day before, but they would ask me when I was due, what did I want to name it, constant question was circumcision, which was always a yes for me, but like I said the other day, if I had known what I know now, I wouldn't have. But they constantly asked when we were due, what we were having, did we plan on keeping it, and it was like they had to take a log of it or something.
You also mentioned that several times a month there would be a man and a woman group that would be led through, and you would be told that this is someone from corporate and they're out to do an inspection. And these couples, this man-woman team that would come out several times a month to talk to you pregnant girls, what are some of the questions that they would ask you guys?
Like, the people that came to the house would ask where we were from. They would ask a lot about our family, like, were we involved with our family? How long have we been there? I know in my house, I was the only girl that was required to show my room to them. They would make me show, like, where Chasen would sleep, my child would sleep, where I slept, where the bathroom was, the back door, the front door. I pretty much showed them around the house.
Were any of the girls that the mothers-to-be that live there, if they were lucky enough to get employment, explain to our listeners how the payment, if you got your paycheck, how that was handled in Child Haven in Cullman, Alabama.
I worked at Wendy's in Cullman on Highway 157 for a good 1 to 2 months. And when we got there, whenever a girl gets there, they say, if you want your money, just come up here and ask for it, or even give in advance that you want it. So I would try to go up there whenever I got my check or something. And they told me I couldn't have it because they would have different excuses. I wasn't on a certain level, or I had to do this chore before I could get it. But they constantly had an excuse. They won't give anybody their money.
While you were living there, have you ever known any woman, any of the females there, to get any of their paychecks when they left? I understand you guys would be told that we're putting this money back for you and you'll be there when you leave. To your knowledge, has anyone ever received $1 of their money that has been stolen by the Child Haven experts there in Cullman County?
Under my knowledge, no, ma'am.
So what you're allegating is that not only do they take your children, but they take your money. They make you clean the house. They make you live in a house that reportedly is filled with things like mold. Is that not correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us about the mold that is in these homes that you're staying at while you're at Child Haven in Cullman County, Alabama.
In my bathroom, there was mold in, like, the corners of the showers, and no matter how much you cleaned, you could tell it had been there for a long time. I'm a real OCD person. You can ask my fiance case from the dad and grandmother, I'm constantly cleaning. And it was really bad at the end of my pregnancy, just nursing, nesting and stuff. But I'm constantly cleaning. I like things to be a certain way. And I could tell that that mold had been there for a while, because if you clean it a certain way, it eventually comes up, but this would not. And, I mean, the kitchen was disgusting. There would be old dishes under the sink. It was disgusting.
Can I interject, Sherry?
Yes. Yes, please, Terry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Regarding the mold, when baby Braylon's mother was taken, if you'll remember that case from almost 2 years ago, an attorney actually visited the home and saw the mold and everything that was there, and we got pictures that were sent to us, baby Braylon's mother sent, saying, this is what they took me and put me in, and they went from their spotless grandparents, her spotless grandparents' house, which was fit for a king, and that's where they put her and this brand new baby. And there was the mold is something that
we understand. We understand that causes many medical conditions and problems. One of the things that Chelsea we spoke about is that since you have lost your child there at the hospital, what kind of service have you gotten from DHR in response to your phone calls and them answering your questions as to why your child is taken? Tell the listeners how it's been for you.
They won't answer my calls. I mean, it's that plain and simple. I've called my social worker just about every day since my son got taken, and she's answered once, and that was by accident. I don't even think she knows she answered, because she was like, oh, hello. She won't answer my calls. The only thing she tells me is that he's in Vincent County, and that's it.
All right, so Shelby County, Terry, we know exactly these experts that live down there. Give a rundown of some of the cases that you've handled just out of Shelby County alone.
Okay. Before I did it, I just want to ask this one question. If DHR alleges the same social worker for mother and baby, this Erica lady, Erica Lowry, if she alleges that Chelsea has severe mental illness, why isn't she addressing that? If that's her allegation, is Chelsea not still her responsibility since they say that she's still in Child Protective Services custody? So that's one of the inconsistencies I want to point out in her action. Now, Shelby County, I used to think Shelby County was a great place, and I even had tried to talk my husband into, hey, let's move there, because it looked like a great place for families. And then I got involved with the case of a 14-year-old rape victim. Actually, I was going to investigate her big sister's story, Haley. And Haley had some children taken from her while she was in foster care. And they were trying to get them back, and they had just taken her newborn baby less than a month before this 14-year-old went into labor. So I was in process of investigating Haley's story when I learned about baby Braylon being born, and their family was concerned that they were going to try to take this baby away from them. And so they did. They took this baby away. I've never seen so many laws broken in all my life, from Shelby County Hospital. And I was there at the hospital up until about 10 minutes before they took the baby. I was escorted out with Judah Myers of Choices for Life, who had come from Texas in support of this mother. But they took this baby based on false allegations, things that I knew at the time. It was months before we actually knew what the allegations were. But when we found out what they were easily proven wrong, and I knew that they were wrong that when it happened. The allegations were made up. They blamed the family for something that was not their fault at all. And so they took that baby, they placed the mother and her baby in baby Braylon in Child Haven. As the investigation continued, as we continued to investigate the story, both stories, I was actually brought into a courtroom. I was there to support Haley, not baby Braylon, and had been there for baby Braylon at another time, but the judge had me brought into the courtroom to basically try to bully me into silence, to have me, he was trying to tell me to be careful about confidentiality, I might want to consult an attorney and all of that, because of the fact that I had reported the story that I was actually a party to it and saw what was happening. So, and to be honest, if that judge thought he was going to shut me up, he just doesn't know me very well. And I think he honestly believed he would. We have been sued, you, Sherry, and were you named in that lawsuit? Or did you get involved right about
that? I was disappointed you just don't know how much I was disappointed that I was the only person in that group that did not get handed a subpoena or that they were being sued that day at the courthouse when we were protesting for this incident that you're speaking of. I was there live. I Facebooked it live as you guys were handed a document saying that you were all going to be sued for $300,000, wasn't it?
$300,000 apiece. Yes.
Yeah, lots of money.
For exercising our freedom of the press rights. And to be honest, this was a story that we had not planned on. I really did not think they were going to take the baby from this young mother. I honestly didn't. And we didn't go there to report her story. We went there to support her. And I had no intention of telling her story, but when you've got a 14-year-old rape victim whose baby is being taken, look at you in the eye and tell you, please tell my story, help me get my baby back. If you have a soul, you will tell her story and you will help her get her baby back. There was
absolutely
no way that I could not have told her story. Let me tell you, asked about Shelby County. One more thing there. When we did a rally there, there was probably about 45 people there. We stayed for a good couple of hours afterwards with person after person after person after person coming up to us and saying, they did this to us, they did this to us, they did this to us, they did this to us. It was unbelievable. It was shocking and tragic and very sad hearing how many people had gone through very similar situations where Shelby County DHR took their children from them unjustly.
Chelsea, let's bring you back. Me and you spoke about specifically this question of circumcision. In that case that Terry just spoke about, I took my 10-year-old son at the time to Coleman Hospital, to the doctor's office that was going to take care of this procedure in Coleman County, Alabama. Now, this was in Shelby County. Apparently, they couldn't find a doctor in Shelby County that could perform a circumcision. So they were going to truck this baby up to Coleman County. I arrived at the doctor's office that morning of the day of the procedure with my son, and we protested at the doctor's office and then at the front of the hospital until the police showed up and held me and my 10-year-old son in custody for roughly an hour as they decided whether or not they were going to arrest me for protesting on site for carrying a sign that said not to circumcise this child of this 14-year-old rape victim. So, Chelsea, you spoke that every day that these social, I guess we'll call them social worker type parents, but what you're telling me is that these parents come and go, that the turnover is of a high rate, that the husband and wife team fight in front of you guys, have their marital relation problems played out in front of you. Tell us more about the life inside that home that you're at, and why do you think that they were asking you guys all these questions about what you were going to do with your child right after the birth, and what you think that has to do with those people that they were parading through a couple of times a week, a couple of times a month, telling you guys that they were from corporate. So either they've got 100,000 people that work for corporate, or we've got a problem.
It wasn't, if this makes any sense, it wasn't a chaotic place to live in, but it was more of a, you know, it was an everyday thing, something we've started to expect. You know, something was going on, and we heard yelling. We pretty much automatically assumed that it was them. there was a lot of things that the husband didn't like about what their names were Kathy and Jeff. There was a lot of things that Jeff didn't like that Kathy did, and he made sure that she knew it, whether it was when they were on the porch or in the room. Whenever we could tell he was upset with something because he would drag her into the room, and more often than not, we would hear him yelling at her, saying, why didn't you do this? He would get upset over little stuff like the bills. She didn't do the bills in time, or she didn't get the bank in time, or she's doing too much stuff for us, and we just don't have enough money for it anymore.
Okay, let me ask you this. This is Jeff. What did he do for a living?
He was a pastor at a church, Glassy Church of Christ.
Wow.
Okay, let me see if I can find that church.
Do you know the name of this church or where it was located?
I'm looking it up right now.
Okay, so this guy didn't
have a
job,
Glassy Church of Christ.
Where is that located? Say that one more time.
Glassy Church of Christ in Arab, Alabama. Child Haven did not let, I know this for a fact, Child Haven did not let any house parents come in there unless they worked with, unless they supported Church of Christ.
Well, tell us more about Jeff. So Jeff, who likes to scream at his wife for doing all the work while he is a preacher, what other things did Jeff do in his life that he told you guys that he was working at?
He told us that he was a part of NASCAR. I've never seen that, but he said he was a part of NASCAR. He would get sponsors for NASCAR and stuff. I know for a fact he worked for the he helped work for the CMAs, like finding new talent and stuff like that. At one point, they even attended the CMAs. They worked with the Country Christmas. He worked with the CMAs, country music, NASCAR, Church of Christ, pastor, and he worked at Child Haven.
Oh, he sounds like he was around a lot of people at a lot of different places. Did he ever bring you guys, any of his friends, to come by, or did you get the feeling that some of these people that were visiting may have been known by this person or perhaps invited to Child Haven by this person?
Yeah. And I know for a fact that's what it was, too. Child Haven says they were independently sponsored, but every single dime that they had come in wasn't raised by them. It was raised by churches, and it was only Church of Christ that they worked with, and Church of Christ would give them money to help sponsor them.
Oh, how about that? While you guys were living there at Child Haven, were the children given any kind of outside education, like parenting skills, or maybe offered any college classes? Can you speak towards you about anything like that?
I was offered college classes, and I did take part in them, actually. But I was the only one that I've ever seen go to college while I've been there. And they made me attend Wallace State. I didn't have a choice of what I wanted to attend.
So the only person that you know of, to your knowledge, that's actually attended a college while staying at this place leaves at an adult age of 19, because I joined the military at 17. So I know at 18 you can vote, so that means you're an adult. Certainly Alabama says until age 19, because for some kids it's 19 before they can graduate from school. But you've already, it looks like, gone on with your life, trying to better yourself. Why do you think that they just came out of the blue to take this baby that they would ask you daily to make sure that you were trying to circumcise this child, and what day you're going to have his child, and what city you're going to have his child in, and, oh, by the way, what hospital you're going to be at when you're having this child, and once again, what day was that? I mean, it just seems crazy that these people can't write something down. Did they have some kind of medical condition that kept them from understanding that if I tell you Tuesday that my baby's going to be born on March the 2nd, that the baby's going to be born on March the 2nd on Wednesday when they ask you that same question again?
No, they weren't incapable of making, you know, certain decisions. They weren't impaired in any kind of way.
So did you just get the feeling that they were asking these questions of you guys so that either they made sure that you weren't fixing to run or slip up and say something that you're going to do
so that they know exactly where you're going to be the day that child's born, where it's going to be, and the people that's fixing to own your child has just been paraded through and you were told that they were from corporate. How does it make you feel now to know that you were living in a place whose entire establishment is church-based, but whose job it is to run a human trafficking ring?
To understand that I was living there and unknowing of it makes me really uncomfortable. It makes me, you know, if somebody asks me something about my child, it's going to make me more cautious now. I actually had somebody the other day ask me before I was showing pictures to Chase, and they said, oh, well, when you had him? And I was just kind of like, I didn't really want to say. I'm not sure who to, you know, talk to.
Okay, I got a strange question. I just drove by Child Haven today, thought I'd take a few photos. I had a very, very difficult time finding any toys outside. I did see a little horsey on one porch. But how come Child Haven has all of these children and teenagers and y'all can't have a basketball go or a playground or something for these kids that you're allowed to give birth to and you're held hostage with until there's a buyer? And then they'll take your child and keep you out.
They have a basketball goal, but they.
Huh? We're coming up on less than 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to demonstrate to the listeners. I just drove by there, guys, and for all these kids, and you would think that being church based, that they was able to purchase some equipment that you can find down even at the Tractor Supply Equipment Company there in Coleman County, Alabama. I like to shop there. I see all kinds of toys I can play with. What's going on with that?
They have a basketball goal, but they have it conveniently placed in between a house and the big white house that you see out in the front.
Well, that's inviting. A basketball goal, is that near concrete?
It's on concrete, and it's in the middle of a big old field.
Oh, well, that's inviting. It sounds like a great place to live. What more can you tell us about staying at this place called Child Haven, located on Child Haven Road in Coleman County, Alabama?
It's not a place I would advise to anybody. When I first got there, it seemed real sweet, but it takes about 2 minutes but it took about 2 weeks for me to finally realize that this place ain't all cracked up supposed to be.
Did you ever personally were concerned about living in this place? Did anything concern you about your security, the security of these children, and with these random people coming through every few days from corporate that seemed to be different every time?
Yeah, I never saw the same corporate, per se, people twice. It was always a different person. It was always a man and woman, and they were always taking notes. It was very peculiar.
Did you get the feeling that you were living in a place that either needed to be inspected 15 times a month or that there was something else going on? And isn't it odd that you can work and provide for yourself, have a job while they keep your money and you attempt to leave so that then while you are working you are able to collect your own paycheck and hope to get on with your lives because you're in college? You're with the man of your dreams, and you're all about to have your firstborn son. Everything was going great for you. What could you tell the listeners about this place that are considering wanting to apply for an application at the Church of Christ for a Child Haven baby? What would you tell them?
2 minutes.
Don't do it, because whatever you donate towards them is just, you know, helping them do what they do best and basically imprison kids and take their kids. Whatever you do, don't encourage, don't donate, don't help. If somebody asked you about it, I would say that I would advise you to tell them the same exact thing. It would be like helping somebody rob a bank.
Well, on that statement, Terry, finish out the show. What can we do? How can we help get these stories out?
MedicalKidnap.com. Medical Kidnap is on Facebook. You can go there. The stories, most of the stories have a who you can call section at the bottom, how you can help. Call the legislators, call people. We need to start calling the DOJ, the Department of Justice. Need to call local talk radio. Call in when they're talking about something, when they're talking about human trafficking or something. Call in, talk about it. Pray. Make phone calls. Share the stories. Please share the stories. Get involved in local politics. Whatever party you're involved in, get involved on the local level in local politics. Start talking to people about what's happening. Share the stories. Tweet. Go to rallies. We need everybody involved that can possibly be involved because this is happening on in front of us, in our doorstep. And two of my children were born at this very same hospital. Two of my children were born there. I've attended births there as a labor doula. This is happening right under our noses, and it has to stop. And we need an investigation